these words in Isaiah chapter 53, 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Verse 2. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And the head, as it were, our faces from. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Verse 7. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 12. Therefore will I divide my portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of death, and made intercession, or continued to make intercession for the transgressors. Now, the next reading I have in mind is in the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verse 2, chapter 18. Verse 6. And Abraham came into the tent unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meat, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth or upon the ashes. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he tasted the bread. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had bred, and set it before him. Stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Now turn with me, please, to the book of Chronicles, this time, 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the law, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves, and the carved image, and the molten image. I look down, please, to the wonderful words of the prophet to them, verse 26. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall you say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which thou hast heard, because thy heart was tender, thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his word against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humbled thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes, and weep before me. I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy father, thou shalt be gathered to thy grave and king, neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place, and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king's word again. Now the last reading that I thought about is in Matthew chapter 24.
1, chapter 24.
Verse 32. Now learn a parable of a big tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass, till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of His own precious word. I've been thinking for some time concerning some of the things that are called tender in the Bible, tender things. I've been thinking that we're living in an age of hardness. It seems that the violence, the unrest, and the condition of things prevailing in the world has reduced the hardness among the sons of man. I thought on one occasion when I visited the old country about 6 years ago, that due to the turmoil and the death and the murders almost every day, that I would find the people soft and tender towards the gospel. But I found in the years that I had been away, that there was a hardness that had developed in the world. And it's been often said that what prevails in the world around us, what prevails in the locality where the testimony is planted, usually finds its way into the company of the Lord's people. And it's amazing that in some places there is a hardness of heart, and there's not the response to the Word of God that there ought to be. And so I thought, in contrast to the hardness that is in the world, the words of Ephesians letter, and Paul said, be tender hearted one toward another. And tender heartedness is something that we should aim for as the Lord's people. And I hope that this conference will produce in each of us a tender spirit to the Lord Jesus and to the Word of God as a fellow believer. Now I read these four scriptures because we have four of the tender things. There are other things that they could have mentioned, but I read of the tender plant in Isaiah 53. The tender plant is the person of the Lord Jesus Himself. And then I read of Abraham, that when he wanted to have a feast fit for the representative of the Lord Himself, he went to the herd and he found a calf that was tender and good. Why I like that. He brought a calf that was tender, the tender calf. And that calf was swayed and bred, and under the tree, he had a feast, fellowship around the tender calf. And then I thought of these lovely, lovely words in connection with one of Judah's greatest kings, King Josiah. I love to read the story of King Josiah, the man who began at 8 years of age to reign. And in the 16th year of reign, he began to purge Jerusalem. And when he was 20, he broke down the images. And then he was taken away from the evil to come. I believe that God took him away. The circumstances of his removal are tragic. But yet, God removed him so that he wouldn't see the evil that was coming upon the nation and coming upon Judah and upon Jerusalem. But I love the words of the prophet when he sent the message to him, because thy heart was tender when the word of God was read. He was a man with a tender heart for the reading of the scripture. His eyes filled with tears when he saw his departure. He rent his clothes and wept when he saw from the word of God how far his path had erred from the scripture. And he did everything in his power to bring his life into conformity with the mind of God. Thy heart was tender. Oh, that we might have the tender heart. And then I thought I would finish this little address But Matthew 24, because we're living in the last of the last days, and we are not looking for signs in the world around us. We know the Lord is coming. But I think of this parable of the fig tree. When it's weak, it gets tender. The tender leaf. We can see the tender leaf tonight. And we believe the summer is nigh. The sprouting of the nation of Israel. The leaf gets tender. Now I hope that the Lord will help me to say a few words about the tender plant, the tender calf, the tender heart, and the tender leaf. Now I love reading, and I'm sure we all love reading, the prophecy of Isaiah. It's simply full of the person of the Lord Jesus. It has been said that Christology, or the subject of Christ, fills to overflowing this delightful book, the prophecy of Isaiah. We have the prophecy of Isaiah, the foretelling of his virgin birth. A virgin shall conceive. We learn in it of his eternal sonship. He was a son given. But we learn of his true humanity. He was a child born. We learn of the kingly reign in a day to come. Thine eyes shall see the king in his youth. And there's not another book that gives us more of his millennial reign. And all his peace and wondrous love and the rule of equity. Think of Isaiah 11. For the lion and the lamb shall feed together, and the little child shall lead them. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, and the waters cover the sea. It's literal, dear friends, the literal reign of the great Redeemer. But we have read tonight from that remarkable passage, the dialogue between God and his people concerning Jehovah the servant. And what a delightful dialogue it is. To listen in to Israel speaking about the Lord Jesus. There was no beauty that they should desire him. But by and by their eyes are opened. And they see that he was wounded for our transgression. The righteous servant, the Son of God himself. I noticed when I was reading it recently that we have four wonderful symbols that are used in Isaiah 53. We have what we might call the botanical symbol. And under the heading of the botanical symbol, we have what I have called the tender plant. From the realm of botany, we see him as the tender plant. But he is also described here as a root out of the dry ground. So we have two symbols of the Lord Jesus that I'm going to look at, the tender plant and the root out of a dry ground. And then we have the sacrificial symbol. And we read those loving words, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. The symbol of sacrifice. But notice there are two animals here. The little lamb, the word here is the young lamb. But then we read, as a sheep before her shears is dumb. There we have the full-grown animal. So in the realm of botany, we have two things to look at. The first is a tender plant, and the second is a root out of a dry ground. And then in the sacrificial symbol, we have a little lamb, a young lamb, and in fact that's the very word that's used in Revelation chapter 5. When John looked to see the worthy one that had the ability to take the book and loose the seven seals, he saw in the midst of the throne a young lamb. The word there is a young lamb, freshly slain. And that lamb has a glory song of all the redeemed above. The lamb, the slaughter led. And there we have the sacrificial symbol. And then when we come down this chapter, we have what I have called the priestly symbol. Because I read those lovely words at the end. He maketh, or he made intercession for the transgressors. We know he did that when he was on the cross, but I believe we can carry it on into the present glory of the Son. He maketh intercession at the right hand of God. So we have the priestly symbol, and we delight in that. And then lastly, we have what I call the military symbol, drawn from the realm, the military world, They have these lovely words. He shall divide him a portion with the great. With the great ones of earth, he shall have the preeminent place. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Here we have the Lord Jesus, used as a military leader, dividing the spoils of the battle of David's dead with those who were on his side. It will be a wonderful day when we see him coming, and we'll be able to look upon him. He does the same, and when he comes in bright array and leads the conquering line, it will be glory then to say, he's a friend of mine. He's going to divide the spoils with his people in that coming day. But now we must look at this botanical symbol for a moment, the tender plant. I believe this chapter brings us along right through the pathway of the Lord Jesus, right to the glory where he is now. And it begins with the tender plant. What lovely words these are. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant. Before the eye of the Father, he was the dependent one. This tender plant is the sucker. It's the dependent plant. It's the one that leans upon God. And we see him growing up in total dependence and an absolute beauty. He increased in favor of God and with man. He increased in stature and in favor with God. He was a tender plant. He was down here. That's how God saw him. The eye of God resting upon him. He beheld the tender plant. And oh, how God wants us to look at that tender plant and see the dependence and the devotion and the purity and the delight and the fragrance that came from the plant of renown. With the tender plant before the eye of God. The sensitivity of the Lord. The sensitive to all that came upon. Sometimes we seem to think because the Lord Jesus was possessed of healing, that in some way he was immune from the reproaches that fell upon him. Reproach has broken my heart. Think of it. The tender plant, sensitive. And the Lord Jesus felt the insults of men. He felt the mockery and the reproach when he was despised down here. I'm surprised that it's in the Gospel of the King that we have those lovely words. If I had been writing the Gospel, I have put the words of Matthew 11 in the Gospel by Luke, the Gospel of his man Luke. But when we think of a king, we think of dignity. We think of power. We think of glory. We think of majesty. But we never think of meek. And it's from the Gospel of the King we read, I am meek. I am meek. The meekness of our Redeemer is the sovereign of the universe. Think of the tender plant. But dear brother, I want to point out here what I believe about this. You might not all go for it, but I have believed it for a long time. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant. And as a root out of a dry ground, yet no form or coming. And when we shall see him, here's the view that man got. I know it has been often said that this root out of a dry ground is a root producing something. But I don't think that the word will bear it, if you look into it, in its original setting. We have a tender plant, that's how God sees it. But a root out of a dry ground, without a form or coming, the way that man saw. Here it's not a root growing in a desert, but it's a root that's lying on the desert sand. It's a root lying in the dry ground. For the eyes of man it's worthless. It's something to be kicked with a toe. It's something to be refused and despised and to tread over. The eyes of God, he was a tender plant. But in the eyes of the world, he was only as an old man, lying in the dry ground, without a form or coming. He was despised and rejected of man. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty. For the eye of God, there was beauty there. The eyes of man was no beauty. The eye of God, he was a tender plant. The eyes of man, he was a root out of a dry ground. I remember the time that's how I saw him. When friends spoke of rapture, of Christ on the tree, Jehovah said, can you come into me. It was just like a root out of the dry ground. The old dear fellow, and here's a little comfort. And as we look out on the day we can say, the tender plant. We rejoice these presents, and we love them. And we have one thing that we desire of the Lord, and that we will seek after, that we might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life. What to do? To behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple, the tender plant. There are two figures, are there not, here, from the realm of botany, that connect with His life. The tender plant at Nazareth, and the tender plant during His life, but the man, you the root out of a dry ground. There are two figures associated with His sufferings here. I want you to look at them. Here we have Him as a lamb. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. This tells us of Calvary. This tells us of the place where He died and shed His blood. The lamb, the slaughter lamb. The lamb is the only creature that goes without any resistance to the place of death. The lamb is the only animal that is led to the slaughter without revolt. You have seen the revolt of an ox or a bullock or swine or any other creature that are taken into the slaughter. The lamb walks unresisting. The lamb moves to the knife. The lamb has been known to lick the hand and puts the knife into its pocket. I used to know a man in the old country, in the old days of the slaughterhouse. And he told me that a lamb turning its eyes upward and looking into his eyes was more than his heart could bear. It looked up into his eyes as he struck the knife into its place. And more than one occasion, let his hand a woman's heart. The first time God indicates the willingness of a sacrifice to die, when Abraham instructed Isaac in the true meaning of their going to Mount Moriah, Isaac didn't resist. I believe he walked to that offering. And I believe he lay down and allowed the Father to find him. For no other reason. He brought us a lamb. It's lost. But I want you to think of the other figure here. Before the eye of God, he was a lamb to slaughter lamb. And the most delightful title of the Lord Jesus there, as far as he is concerned, the title, no wonder that 27 times in the last book of the Bible, the Lord Jesus is referred to as a lamb. And once we read of a beast coming up out of the land, that beast is described. And the lamb has been. So the lamb is mentioned 28 times. 27 times is Christ. And once is the Antichrist. The lamb has been. No wonder we sing the lamb with all the glory. The man of the lamb. We'll see him as the king. But we'll ever remember him as the lamb. But I want you to see how men saw. Not as a lamb. But as dumb as a sheep. Full-grown sheep, with all the will of heart, a sheep that was taken, not for the slaughter, but a sheep before her shearing. Dear brother, took him out of the shearing house, but it took his own robe from, and they arrayed him in a purple robe of mockery. Were the shearers not doing their work when they plucked the hairs from his cheek? That meant what we think. He sheared them. He stripped them. Oh, we think of the sheep in the shearing house. And we think of the lamb for slaughter lamb. We think of the tender plant. We think of that root out of the dry ground. Only enough of that tender plant. Now I want you to think of Abraham just for a moment. In Genesis 18, and all I'm going to say about him here, I'm going to use it as a picture of a believer
coming and worship before the one who is in heaven.
Isn't it lovely to see this?
He wants to have a feast for the one that has come from heaven.
Yes.
The representative of Jehovah himself is under that tree, and he wants a feast. And so Sarah in her tent, where she ought to be, I like when God said to Abraham, where is Sarah?
Yes, she's in the tent.
The tent is always associated with the Where is Sarah?
She's in the tent.
But in the tent, she had the ability to dig a cave. It's like the meal offering that we thought of the other day. And so she baked the cake, but there was a young man that knew how to dress a calf. Your brother is grand in the assembly when we have an older man with an exercise to spread a cake. The elder brethren do the exercise about having a feast for the one that is in the midst of the company. We should be concerned that our table will be spread when we come to worship and when we come to remember him. But it's grand when there are the sisters that can prepare something. We think of Mary. She prepared on Lazarus needed by this tiny singer. Isn't it marvelous that Mary didn't get the ointment to her brother? She loved her brother. But she kept the ointment for Christ. And she knew more than they all. She knew what Joseph never knew. That his body would never see corruption. And so she poured the nard upon him. And he sat at the supper. And he appreciated it. And so we have a woman in Sarah that's able to prepare something. But it's grand when we have young men that know how to dress a calf. He went and fetched a calf, and it was dressed, and it was under the tree. But the calf here, I love these words. It's the only time you read of it. Once we read of a sucking lamb, and once we read of a tender calf. It was a calf that was tender and good. It was easy partaken of. Dear brethren, I hope those ministry that will be tender and good. I have listened to ministry, and you'll need all the that you tenderize steaks with? You need to tenderize it on so that you can enjoy. But you know, this was a calf that was tender. You have listened to men giving thanks on the Lord's Day morning, and perhaps their language or their English might have been perfect, or their diction might not have been perfect, but the way they addressed God, it was a calf that was tender, and the saints appreciated it. May the Lord help us to have a ministry that is in digest. A ministry we can understand, something that's tender and good, that we would go away and say we had a calf. I must think of Josiah for a moment. And here's a man's attitude to the Word of God. You know, it was our attitude to the Word of God that brought us to where we are today. There was a time that I was a wayside here. I look back with regret to the many messages that I heard, and the birds caught away to sea. And for years, I was a wayside here. And then as I grew up, I became a thorny ground here. I wanted to be saved sometime. But the cares of the world and the love of other things choked the word. There was a time likely when Saul was here as well, when we were stony ground here. When we made a profession. But we didn't get it. It sprang up, but there was no root. The hard heart was never touched. No shame to have had a profession, but it's a shame to hold on to. Doing God's will. But there was a day when our heart was tender. I remember the first time that I really had a tender heart, when the Word of God was spoken. I knew I was a lost sinner. I longed to know Christ. My heart was plowed. Dear brethren, thank God that ever we were plowed up.
and that are hard heart by nature, because by nature we had a hard heart for the Word of God. But there came a day when our heart was tender. And after God saved us, my, what a tender heart we have. We were thinking of first love and the early days when we were first converted. And when the brethren read, we had a tender heart. When they told us what we ought to do, when I first was instructed concerning the truth of believers' baptism, I went that very day to the brethren. That I want to be baptized right away. And I said, we don't do it that way. Not a good thing for us. Well, I said, I can't care. I have to be baptized right now. And he said, this young man is very unusual. But it's all the time. I was baptized. And then, I was received into his tent. And oh, my God. And the ministry, and listening to it, made a tender heart. Every one of those young men, I look back. Some of them are in the glory, and the men that taught them are all in the glory. A brother was preaching at a conference recently about the great need of having members of congregation. He said, no man should be out without one. The way home in the automobile, I said to the brother, did you keep a secret? He said, I could. I said, my letter of commendation is out of you for all the men that claim that are in heaven. You think I could get a renewal? A renewal like you. Dear brethren, what's the good of a letter? Men haven't got God then. You could have all the letters in the world, but if you hadn't the touch of godliness, it wouldn't be worth it. But those godly men that taught them, one by one they went away. The last man went home about 4 months ago, I had a letter from just before he went. James said. And he wrote in the letter, he said, dear brother Hart, I'm glad to know that you're still walking in the simple way of God. It's good to try to go off the way you started. And it started with, when I started out the street, there were many servants who started out. And one by one they sought another coach to their own master. It's not my affair to guide the ways of servants. Dear brethren, some men are occupied with what others do and where they go. Where others go and what they do and what they practice, they will be answerable to the Lord. But it's nice to go along a simple path. May God help us in this conference that we might be like this man, that we might have a heart that we respond to the ministry. Even when it cuts us, even when the ministry is getting into our ministry we don't like very much, you might say, oh God, I need that man. I need the sandpaper to keep the gold shiny. You don't like sandpaper, man. I'm not a man giving much sandpaper ministry. But when brother gives sandpaper ministry, I say, thank God for a little ministry like that. To sharpen us up and the way to heaven. And we need all varieties of ministry. That's why God arranges the platform. If we were arranging it, we would have our favorite views on the type of ministry we would like. I have seen that for years. The error of choosing the platform is that you can choose out a message from God. And we could put up what we would think was the idea that it might work. I know that there's sadness with an open platform. I have been in places where men were speaking. And I need to choose to speak. And what did you do to say? I bore with it in order to listen to others that haven't come to me. Old Spurgeon said, when you go to a conference, it's like eating fish, but don't eat the bone. If you get bone, set it on the side of your plate. Eat the meat. The brethren that eat all of us. And the thing is, when it's a word from God, if God is giving them this, if it's coming from the very presence of God, then may we be like Josiah of a tender heart. God appreciates a tender heart for ministry. And there's some brethren, and I know you know what I mean, and say about it, have a response to the Word of God. And there's some sisters, when you minister the Word of God, have a response. There's others in the suite. Brother going out some weeks ago,
It slept the whole week since I saw him. He was tired. And so he got to know what he said. He said, I never heard you that. He slept the whole week. Our life. But there are those who are nothing. But then there are others. And whenever you minister, they draw in their heart to minister. I can't speak when I haven't got enough. To go into a bedroom and speak into a tape recorder to send it out to the world, other men would be able to do it. But I couldn't do it. It takes me. I can't get power into my preaching unless I've got an audience. And when you're preaching and trying to preach to an audience like this, you preach to them. But they would never ask you back. So I better quit. But I want to say this about Matthew 24, tenderly. And I saw years ago that the past of Israel was like a vine tree. The present of Israel was like an olive tree with the natural branches cut off. And the future of Israel like a fig tree. And when we see the nation and the land, I know it may be a false revival, but there's a people in the land by the name of Israel. And there's a flag that flies the Star of David is on the seven oceans. Tells me that the king has come. I went once to a meeting in a little place, a little town near to the city of London. New Malden was the name of it. Many years ago, nearly 30. You know, coming along the train, I was afraid I would roll into Houston for the big stadium. I missed my stadium. And I said to the man in the carriage, I said, do you know where New Malden stadium is? He said, listen. Whenever you see the light shining on the horizon, the next time the train stops, it's time for you to get out. I kept looking at the horizon, and I saw the big lights of London away in the distance, and the sky shining bright. And when the train pulled up at the little station, I said, this is where I get out. I'm not going on to the big station yet. We're getting out 7 years before the big station. We're getting out 7 years before we arrive at the big thing. The big thing is the kingdom. But the part that we're looking for is the secret rapture. When we'll walk into his presence first. When we see the light of the kingdom, we can see it as our fathers never saw. I can see the whole thing spread out. Almost a well, you know when you're preaching prophecy, you're not today a prophet. But you can see it as where the dead souls all through the course. And we can see the Northern Confederacy. And we can see the West. And the development of things there. And the East. And the Far East. The other day I read, and I was amazed, in a little Jewish paper that I read. And it said that already there were so many in the army of the East, that it was possible that great army that's mentioned in the book of the Revelation, that is already enough troops to march across, that dried up in the great weather. But that great army will dry up, and that great army will come with a rising spot, the yellow peril. And all these things are around us. Dear Benner, we're near the time when we'll be anyway. May God grant you life, and be tender.